تیار کردہ علمی کیسٹ گھر کیسٹ اور سی ڈی ملنے کا پتہ نوٹ فرما لیں. علمی کیسٹ گھر دکان نمبر 5 فاطمہ پلازا بالمقابل مدنی مسجد پڈلبی ایریا کراچی. فون نمبر 6370813.
And the Muslim life inside and outside the masjid. And the talk after the Juma will be how to raise the children in the USA and the role of Islamic school. And tomorrow the program will be in Jama Masjid here. The program will start from 11:30. 11:30 to 1 PM the program will be on the importance of Hijab. Then 5:30 full understanding of interest system. In USA. Then come Monday, after Monday, understanding of Sunnah and its categories. And after Isha, Zakat, full understanding. And then Sunday, from 11 till after time, the program will be in the Golden Rock Masjid. This is on Sunday. And from Monday to Isha, again the program will be here in Jama Masjid. So inshallah, we don't have much time. I will get the participants have to come.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا. My brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I deem it an honor, privilege for me to be in your midst and to discuss some Islamic problems which the Muslim Ummah is facing in this part of the world. I would like to apologize that since I have very rare opportunities to speak in English, it seemed to be rather difficult to express myself fluently in this language, and you may have to tolerate my broken expression. But I was asked by my brother that the medium of discussion should necessarily be English, particularly in this khutbah. So I try my best to express myself, and I believe that the love, the Islamic love we have in our heart needs no eloquence or frequency, and sometimes the broken word can convey what the eloquent speeches cannot. So the topic which I have just been given to speak on is that is the way of practicing Islam in America different from the way of practicing it in other parts of the world. This is the question framed before me, and I was asked to speak on it. In this respect, I have just recited a verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, addressing the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to His beloved Holy Prophet that we have sent you to all the human beings. We have sent to you as a bearer of glad tidings to the humanity and as a warner. But we have sent to you to all the human beings on this globe, on this earth. Previously, the prophets were being sent to a particular nation only. Sayyidina Musa alayhi wasalam was sent to the children of Israel, to Bani Israel. Sayyidina Isa alayhi wasalam was also sent to the children of Israel. And many other prophets which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were sent to a particular nation, a particular tribe, or a particular part of the world. But the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the last prophet, was sent to all the human beings. And this holy verse says that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent down for all the human beings found on the face of the earth. His messengerhood, his prophethood is not restricted to Arabia only. He is as good a messenger in North America as he is in Saudi Arabia. So his message, his teaching, his instructions, all instructions are encompassing all the human beings found on the earth. So the teachings and instructions given by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either through Holy Quran or through his Sunnah, cover all the circumstances faced by the Muslims all over the world. So one cannot say that Islam in Asia is different from Islam in Africa, or Islam in Africa is different from Islam in America or Europe. Islam is the same. What is Islam? Islam is the guideline provided by the Holy Quran and Sunnah. The Holy Quran is one. The Sunnah of the Holy Prophet is one. There is no discrimination in the Holy Quran and in the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. But at the same time, since Islam has come to guide the humanity for all times to come, and for all people of different areas of the world, Islam itself has given us such teachings or such instructions which can be practiced throughout the world without any restriction. As you all know, that Islam is not a religion like Christianity or a Jewish religion. It does not confine its teachings to the rituals only. It is actually a code of life. Its teachings and instructions relate to the economic, to the social, to the political affairs of the Ummah. Islam does not teach us that you are Muslim when you are in the mosque only. It says that you are Muslim when you are in the mosque, you are Muslim when you are in the market, you are Muslim when you are at your home, you are Muslim when you are working and you are on your job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. O those who believe, enter Islam, whole of you. And Islam is not some rituals performed in the holy mosque only. Islam is a set of instructions, is a set of teaching which govern our socio-political, socio-economic life also. So when we are working on our jobs, when we are at our homes, the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ have given us clear instructions. And those instructions and those teachings are not so difficult to practice on them. Whenever a Muslim studies the Holy Quran and studies the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he will find that in each sphere of life there is a set of instructions. But there is a very wide area which has been left over by the Holy Quran and Sunnah as mubah, as permissible act. In that wide area, you can choose whatever you want. But there are only some obligations. For example, five prayers and the prohibition of some act. These obligations and prohibitions, which is normally said al-awamir wa nawahi. Al-awamir, obligation. Nawahi, injunction or prohibition. Within the framework of these awamir and nawahi, within the framework of these obligations and prohibitions, one is under an obligation to follow all these injunctions. No matter he is in America or he is in Pakistan or in Saudi Arabia. So if, for example, wine is prohibited, that means that it is prohibited for all parts of the world. One cannot say that it is prohibited in Saudi Arabia and it is not prohibited in North America. If pork is prohibited, it is prohibited for all the world. One cannot say that it is prohibited in Saudi Arabia or in Pakistan and it is not prohibited in North America. So all the prohibitions, all the obligations are for all the Muslims to follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who declares to be Muslim, who professes the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all the precepts are the same for all the world. But there are some concessions given by the Sharia in some matters, not for a particular area or for a particular nation, but subject to certain conditions laid down by the Holy Quran and Sunnah. Those concessions are available for Pakistanis, for Saudi Arabians, for Americans also. So one cannot discriminate between the Muslims of America and Muslims of other parts of the world. Islam is the same, the Holy Quran is the same, the teachings of the Holy Prophet and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet is the same. But within that framework, there is a wide area of mubahat when one can choose a way according to his own experience, according to his own needs, according to his own taste. For example, Islam did not lay down a particular type of meal to eat, subject to certain prohibitions. Islam has said that you can't eat pork. Islam has said that you can't eat a meat which is not slaughtered in the Islamic way. But subject to these conditions, Islam has not laid down a particular type of meal which you can eat. Subject to these conditions, whatever meal you like, you can eat, whether in North America or whether in Pakistan. So the question that the way of practicing Islam in America, this way of practicing Islam in America is the same as it is in other parts of the world, or it is some different way, the answer to this question is very simple, that there is no discrimination according to the areas or geographical boundaries. Islam is the same. Islam is the set of instructions laid down by the Holy Quran and Sunnah for all times to come, for all the human beings found on the earth. But the main thing is to understand Islam. what is Islam, what Islam does require from a Muslim. Whether I can be a Muslim by pronouncing the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah only, without believing that there is only one God, without believing that the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are true and we are under the obligation to obey them, without following any guidance provided by the Holy Quran and Sunnah, whether can I be Muslim by entering my name in the register of Muslims only? That is not the requirement of Islam. As I have cited to you the verse of the Holy Quran which says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O those who believe, enter Islam wholeheartedly. So this verse addresses the Muslims, where it says, O those who believe. It presumes that the addressee has believed. But despite all this, the verse says, enter Islam. It means that entering Islam is something different from where we believe it. And entering Islam cannot be completed unless one submits himself to the injunctions provided by the Holy Quran and Sunnah. Islam actually means in Arabic language, if you consult any Arabic dictionary, you will find that Islam means submission, total submission. This is its literal meaning according to the Arabic dictionary. Al-Islam, total submission. So when Allah says that all those who believe enter Islam, whole of you, it means that a Muslim cannot be a true Muslim until he submits totally to the precepts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he says, I am a believer, I am a Muslim, but I don't believe in such prohibition or in such instruction given by the Holy Quran and Sunnah, he is not a true Muslim, because he has not submitted himself to the teachings of the Holy Quran and Sunnah. So the very first requirement for a Muslim is total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Sayyidina Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you all know, that he was ordered to slaughter his own child, Ismail alayhi wa sallam. He received this command by Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he never argued before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the reason? Why you are ordering me to slaughter my son? I have got this son after a long time. And what is the offense committed by this son that you are ordering me to slaughter him? Nobody can offer any reasonable explanation or any reason for slaughtering one's own son. But when he received the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he did not question it. It's reasoning. It just he merely followed it, and he asked his son also, and asked him, "Inni ara ani azbahuka fil manami fanzur madha tara." I have been ordered in my dream that I should slaughter you. What is your opinion? What do you think about it? Ismail alayhi salam answered, "Ya abati al ma tu'mar." My father, please do what you have been ordered to do. Inni satani to me, inshallah, or sabi. You will find me among the patients. I'll not cry. I'll not stop you from slaughtering myself. This was the answer of his son. And accordingly, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi wa sallam laid his son down and started slaughtering him. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when refers to this event, this historic event, he says in the surah of Saffat, he says, "Falamma aslama," when both of them, father and son, when both of them submitted themselves. At this exact occasion, the word used by the Holy Quran and Sunnah is aslama. When they entered Islam, when they submitted themselves, This denotes that that Islam actually means total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without questioning the reason of the command. This is Islam. So, this Islam should be followed in word and both in spirit, in word and spirit. In all parts of the world, there is no discrimination. There is the Holy Quran has nowhere said that the way of practicing it in a part is different from the way of practicing in another part. So, this is the requirement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Quran and Sunnah from us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand Islam as it is distinct and to understand the Islamic teaching in its total spirit and to follow it and be a practicing Muslim as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. And in the last, thank you all. I am grateful for your patient hearing. And I also request all of you that you should not forget me and all the Muslim Ummah from in your du'as, and we all should pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He may give us tawfiq to be true Muslims according to His own will and pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alam wa akhu da'wan wa akhu da'wan wa akhu da'wan.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى اله واصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لامرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يقيمها بامرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا ويوم نفسل من تموت حتى تكمل رزقها فأجملوا في الظلم وتوكلوا عليه أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين. الحمد لله احمده واستعينه واستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فانه لا يضر الا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وازواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأجدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقواهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظالمتهم وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فبالبغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تلقف فيه الأبصار مهطعين مقنعي رؤوسهم لا يرتد إليهم طرفهم وأفئدتهم هواء وأنذر الناس يوم يأتيهم العذاب فيقول الذين ظلموا ربنا أخرنا إلى أجل قريب نجب دعوتك ونتبع الرسل أولم تكونوا أقسمتم من قبل ما لكم من زوال وسكنتم في مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم وتبين لكم كيف فعلنا بهم وضربنا لكم الأمثال فقد مكروا مكرهم وعند الله مكرهم وإن كان مكرهم لتزول منه الجبال. اللهم
besides the importance of the question of the education of our children. Unless we appreciate fully the required importance, the importance of raising our children in an Islamic atmosphere, we cannot step forward towards achieving the goal of raising our children in accordance with the dictates of the Holy Quran and Sunnah. For this purpose, I have just cited a verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. It means that, O those who believe, save yourself and your family from the fire. And the fire here means the fire of hell, the fire of sin, the fire of un-Islamic activities, the fire of un-Islamic life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an absolute command that it is not enough for a Muslim to save himself only from the fire of hell. It is also obligatory on him to save his own children, his family members from the fire of hell. It means that if there is someone who performs 5 times prayer a day, he is regular in performing prayers, he regularly attends the holy mosque, but his children are going astray, his children are running an un-Islamic life, and they are not abstaining from the major sins prohibited by the Holy Quran and Sunnah, prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not enough for a Muslim. It is not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires us to run our life. In our times, we see many of us who are very punctual in performing prayer. We are very punctual in fasting in Ramadan. They regularly pay zakat and often offer hajj and umrah. But they never care about their children, where they are going. This is not an Islamic way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, save yourself and your family from the fire of hell. And it is an obligation of every Muslim to save his family from the fire of hell. So, sometimes when we are asked that you should educate your children, educate your family in accordance to run their lives in accordance with the Holy Quran and Sunnah, they often, some of us often say that we have many times advised our family members, our children, to abstain from the sins, to observe the Salah, to observe the Ramadan, and observe the teachings of Islam. But what can we do that they are going astray, they are going on their own way, and we have no way to call them back towards Islam. And it is not obligatory on us. They have their own responsibility. We have to charge up our responsibility by advising them only. So this verse of the Holy Quran is at the same time refutes this argument also. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the fire, that a Muslim should save his family from the fire. It is a metaphorical expression in order to denote that if some father or mother finds his child jumping into the fire, into the real fire, instead of the worldly fire, if he sees that his child, his son or daughter is jumping into the fire, whether he will restrict himself to giving him just oral advice that you please do not go near the fire, this is very dangerous, this may be fatal for you, and sits down without stopping him from jumping into the fire. If the child, after he gets such an advice from his parents, jumps into the fire, whether there are some parents who will sit down and see as a spectacular what is going on, and whether they can say that we have discharged our responsibility, that we have advised him not to go near the fire. No parents will ever do like this. They cannot be. They will remain restless. They can't sleep until they pick up their child from the fire. So mere oral advice is not enough unless there is some restlessness in one's heart to bring out his children from the fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the same manner should be adopted in saving one's children from the fire of the hell. He should be restless unless he saves him from the fire. He should pull him out from the the fire. Merely oral advice, giving oral advice cannot be enough for a Muslim to discharge his duty according to this holy verse of the Holy Quran. So this is the importance of raising children in Islamic manner. But how to raise? What are the means? What are the requirements for raising our children in accordance with Islamic teaching? This is the major problem. This is the main question. And in that respect, I would refer to the fact that the Muslims, wherever they are under an obligation to establish their own Islamic, their own educational institutions. Unless they establish their own educational institutions, they cannot save their children from un-Islamic attitudes, un-Islamic thought, un-Islamic life. So the first obligation on every Muslim in each country is to establish Islamic education institutions. And particularly in this part of the world, where the Muslims are in minority, where the main education institutions are totally running in a totally different manner and totally different direction. So in this country, and wherever the Muslims are in minority, they are under an obligation to establish their own educational institutions. These educational institutions of two kinds. Firstly, educational institutions where the Holy Quran and the basic teachings of Islam are being taught. Like you can establish a small maktab or a small madrasa in a mosque where the children would be given the teachings of basic Islamic teachings. And this is being done in many other mosques and Islamic centers in North America, as all of you know. But I would refer to another step which is more necessary in my eyes. That is to establish your own educational institutions where both the secular and the Islamic studies are taught. If your child is studying in a secular educational institution, Western educational institution, and for 1 hour you spare him in the for the mosque, he learns the Holy Quran, for example, or he learns the some of ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he learns within 1 hour cannot wash off what he has learned in the education institution, the Western education institution. So the Muslims should establish their own institution where both the secular and the religious teachings have been given to the children. And I, on my advice, alhamdulillah, in some parts of America also, and in some parts of South Africa, the Muslims have already been able to establish such institutions. They need not go to the Western education institutions. They teach their children all the secular subjects, and simultaneously the basic Islamic teaching. Then another important factor for the education of children is the atmosphere of the institute. Not only the curriculum, but also the atmosphere affects the life of the students. So if you establish your own educational institution and develop an Islamic atmosphere therein, and you teach your children both the secular sciences and the Islamic sciences simultaneously, it is the only solution, only lasting solution for the problem of the newer generation as faced by the Muslims in America or in any other part of the country. Unless we are able to establish our own institution, we cannot face this challenge which we are facing now. We cannot meet this challenge which we are facing now. So Sometimes some brothers say that it requires a huge money, a large scale of money, and they have no such resources as they could establish such institution, such institution. But I say that if the Muslims appreciate the importance of this task, then the resources can be available. And as I told you earlier, that in many parts of the country, Muslims have established such institutions. This is the question of life and death for Muslims. So if you can expend money on your building your house, you can expend money for purchasing your car, why you are not able to spare some of your wealth, some of your income for this one? So the basic requirement and the basic need of the Muslims of today is to establish their own institution. You can see the Jews have established their own institution. They teach their children not in the Christian or in the secular institutes. They have established their own institutes where the children are being taught all the subjects with the Jewish study. But the Muslims have not been able to establish such an institution. So the second point which I was going to emphasize is to feel the necessity and importance of this proposal. The third point which needs our attention is that until we are able to establish our own education institutes, whether religious or secular, it is an obligation on each head of the family that he should spare some time in his to educate his people, to read some books before the children, to educate his children in accordance to run their lives according to Islam. He is under obligation to teach him salah, to teach him zakah, to teach the fundamentals of Islam to his children. If you spare half an hour daily to read some Islamic book to the members of the family and to educate them, it will gradually help educating them and providing them the necessary Islamic information, inshallah. And the fourth point, which is no less important, is that the basic method of raising children in accordance with Islam is to provide them a practical example. If the head of the family does not give a beautiful and a good example before his child, he cannot expect his children to grow in an Islamic way. There is a hadith of the Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it is reported that in the presence of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one person called a child. He wanted to take the child in his lap, so he called him. The child was reluctant. He was not coming. So he, in order to persuade him, he said, "I'll give you some sweets." So when he said, I'll give you some sweets, the child came in his lap and he raised him. The Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying all this when he saw that he had promised the child to give him some sweets. He asked the person whether you had that sweet which you have promised that child to give. He said, "Yes, I had, and if he comes, I give him the sweet." Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah said, that if you did not have the sweet and you have promised the child only to persuade him, in that case you have committed two sins. One, to tell a lie, and second, to educate a child that telling lie is not a sin. It will affect the child that he feels that telling lie is not a major sin. And when my father or my elder is telling a lie, then in that case there is no harm if I tell a lie. So this denotes that Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized that a head of the family should present a beautiful example, a practical example of Islamic life before his children. If you are prohibiting your children from something and you yourself are committing the same practice, then this advice will go in vain, without fruit. So there are four points. Firstly, feeling the importance, appreciating the importance of the education of children. Secondly, to establish the religious institutes in the mosque. Thirdly, to establish secular educational institutions where the Islamic education is given, combined by the secular education. And fourthly, to educate the children within the four walls of the home, of the house, sparing some time for educating the children. And fifthly, to present before them a practical example which they can follow. These are five points to be remembered in this regard. And I regret that this time I feel a bit tired and could not give you a detailed account of the Islamic teachings in the matter of the education of the children. But these are some five points which can be remembered and which can throw some light on what way we should raise our children, especially in this part of the world. And inshallah we will have some other time to discuss these matters in more detail. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
There are a few questions, sir. You can read and...
Some brothers insist to teach the parents so that children can go to a straight path. To teach the parents?
To teach Islamic parents.
Oh, yes. It goes without saying that unless the parents themselves are aware of the Islamic teaching, they can't convey the Islamic message through their children. So, this is the first requirement that the parents should first learn the Islamic teachings and then convey to the others. But some people insist to give more time to children because it is little too late for parents to go to in this country. I see. They say it is difficult for parents who have become old now that they start learning the Holy Quran like children. So it is they should devote their attention to their children that they should learn. But there are many fields. There are different fields. In some fields, it is difficult for parents to study from ABCD. But there are some spheres in which they can learn, even if they are old. So both the things should run, should go simultaneously, and one is not against the other.
Yeah, this we already have Islamic school. Just how we can make it more effective for our children. Alhamdulillah, we have full-time Islamic school in Orlando.
MashaAllah.
Established, yes.
Islamic school in which?
Full-time.
Devoted for Islamic education only or?
No, full. For regular education and
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, we have Alhamdulillah 53 students.
Up
to 9th grade.
Right in Orlando.
Alhamdulillah. So how we can...
How many
53
students.
53
students.
Yeah.
Masha. This is well. So, in order to... unless I know the curriculum...
Yeah, inshallah.
And the system of
next
education.
Next Sunday we have...
Inshallah, we'll, it will be better to see it and to go through the curriculum. In that case, there may be some suggestions.
Does anybody have any question?
Yes.
They said you better, you need rest, so we don't
actually,
want to...
Since two nights I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Except for 1 or 2 hours. And since, right from...
تیار کردہ علمی کیسٹ گھر کیسٹ اور سی ڈی ملنے کا پتہ نو فرمال ہے علمی کیسٹ گھر دکان نمبر 5 فاطمہ پلازا بالمقابل مدنی مسجد پڈلبی ایریا کراچی فون نمبر 6376081